Marge, you'll be taking notes so that if there is anything wrong with the tape, we won't have lost everything.
She'll have it.
Okay,
Marge.
National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Natalie Mandelblatt and Margie Silverman are interviewing I.R. Raphael on January 20th, 1976. There we go. Would you first give me your full name?
My full name is Israel. R is an adopted initial.
Okay, and when were you born?
September the 23rd, 1898.
Okay. Would you first tell me something about your family? As far back as you remember.
As far back as I remember. I remember my brother Hannah and her husband Louis. And their name was Sandusky. My mother's name was Rachel. And she was one of four daughters who brother Hannah had and one son.
Could you give me all their names?
Yes, I can. Mrs. Lewis Gordon, Jr. Mrs. Shalom Sugar. That's Ralph Sugar's father. Mrs. Simon Zeidman. And Mrs. Betsy Simon.
William Simon,
rather. And then the one son, David. They are all gone.
Okay. Do you know the date of birth of your mother?
No, it was like a son.
Okay. When did your grandparents immigrate to this country?
They tell me a story, and I don't know how true it is. But they said that when my Baba Khan moved to Pittsburgh, she lived on the site where Kaufman's department store is. And if she had $300 that she didn't have, she could have bought that whole 5th and Smithfield Street. So you know how many years ago that is. That's true. It's supposed to be true. I don't know.
In By Myself on the book, it mentions that she spent a year in Germany because of her son.
Her son, David, that's David Sandusky. He's passed away. And he had something wrong with his eyes. And she took him to Germany. How she financed the trip, I'll never know.
She returned from this country?
From this country.
Oh, I hadn't understood that.
Yeah, she returned from this country, and he was, his eyes were medicated and repaired, and he was able to see very well. Very interesting.
That is interesting. Tell us what you remember about her.
Well, she was a very fantastic individual. She had this outfit, as you see in the picture. She had this great big black apron. She wore a shadle, by the way. You know what a shadle is?
A wig.
Well, it's not. It could be called a wig. And she would come to visit us. And she put her hand down in that big pocket in her apron pocket. She always had a little candy for us kids. And when Bubby came into our house, well, we thought that, goodness knows who, the most marvelous individual. We lived on Washington Street many years ago, then we moved to Dinwiddie Street. And we all had a big kitchen. We had the coffee, big granite coffee pot that Mother put on the first thing in the morning. And all the sisters and Bubby would come sit in the kitchen and like a coffee clutch. We know the coffee company. I'll never forget an experience. I always wondered how old she was. See? I remember I finally got together a dime, and I sent away to a company somewhere that and got a set of cards that if you have the person card and if their age was on it, you put that in one pile. If their age wasn't on it, you put it in another pile. And I couldn't wait till Bobby came to visit us.
Well, my mistake was that she couldn't understand English. She didn't know what the figures meant. So my dime was lost. I never got to know how old she was.
She died in the old Montefiore Hospital on Center Avenue. She was buried from our home on Dinwiddie Street, 253 Dinwiddie Street. And I tell you this, it was most amazing the number of people that came from all the priests and rabbis and colored people, because she delivered colored children.
I know.
And her one deal was that when she got a call to come to deliver child, she wouldn't run to the house. She would stop on Logan Street, get a chicken, go in, put the chicken on so that the Kempertorn would have some strength, and then go upstairs and deliver the baby.
Washington Street and Dinwiddie Street, but we're both in the Hill District.
Oh yeah, sure. Bobby lived on Logan Street, and we as kids, my sister Jen, I don't know whether you know her, Mrs. Lenscher, Benjamin Lenscher's then. On Friday night, we would go to her house and spend the night with her. And she had a great big perinee. You know what a perinee is? Great.
It's a feather.
Feather. And then we'd get up in the morning and she would make a scrotum that's barley. See, like a hot cereal. She was very, very unusual. And one of her very dear friends was John Morn, who was a congressman. And they were like that. If she wanted a favor of any kind, go see Bobby. Bobby would call John, would have someone call John Moore, and John Moore would come to the house to see her. She was a very, very unusual, very unique individual.
What was your grandfather like?
He was very nice and quiet. I remember when he passed away, they lived on Logan Street, near Tiffany. That's one block up. And the only thing I remember is the day he was buried, and he died buried, we kids didn't have to go to school. I mean, that's about as much as I... He wasn't an outgoing individual. See.
And she was enough for that.
She was enough for him and a whole... And yet, interesting enough, none of her children, including my mother, inherited or was able to do the work that she did as a midwife. But that was the last. And she was an unusual individual. To have known her was really a one of the great wonders of my life.
What year did she die?
1912 or 14, somewhere about that time. She was then, I think, 90 past. So she's buried in the old Washington Street synagogue in Batiste Rock, up on a hill, way at the very top, because those were the days where the thought was that in order to go to heaven, they're higher than my mother and father are buried right alongside of him in the old Washington Shoe Cemetery in McKee's Rocks.
Did she outlive her husband?
Oh, yes, many years. That's why we as kids would go up there on Friday night when we didn't have the school in the next morning to spend the night with Bobby.
on Logan Street.
But you lived as a child very much in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, well, we lived on Washington Street, and then we lived on Dinwiddie Street, and Logan Street is about halfway between about three, four blocks one way and three, four blocks the other way. He was an interesting character. I often think about her, and we keep her picture in our bedroom.
She's somebody to be proud of.
Oh, my.
What can you tell us about your parents?
Well, my parents, as far as my mother is Rachel, my father's name is Ralph Bear. They were both born in Europe. They came here, my mother came here when she was quite young. I don't know when my father came here, but he was quite a Zionist. In fact, he passed away in 1903, the year that they had the Zionist convention here in Pittsburgh. He didn't leave. He worked very hard. He had pneumonia. And those are the days that they didn't know what to do. The person had pneumonia, that was it. A very handsome looking individual. And I am the ninth of 10 children.
Would you give us all of your brothers and sisters' names?
Be glad. There were five boys and five girls. The boys were Harry, Benjamin, Lazarus, Nathan, and myself. And there were five girls. Rose, Libby, Sarah, Jenny, and a little baby who didn't survive more than about 2 years. Her name was Esther. None of the boys are living except me. I still have four sisters that I look after. Unfortunately, all of their husbands have passed on.
Do they live together?
No. We are together. The fact of the matter is, I make it my business every Saturday, I take them out for lunch. I visit with them then.
And you're all still in Pittsburgh?
But they're all in Pittsburgh. Well, Jen's now vacationing in Pasig Grill in Florida. But they all live right here in Pittsburgh. I talk to them every night at 5 o'clock.
That's wonderful.
They know when that telephone rings around five, it's me.
How old was your father when he died?
Well, he was not more than about 43 or 44. He passed away when I was 3 years old. So I don't remember much of him.
I'm sorry, you said you were the youngest?
No, I am the youngest boy. But there was a young girl named Esther who passed away in her infancy.
Except for...
Yes.
What was your home life like when you were a child?
Well, that's a good question. It was very interesting. We had a rule in our house where the mother raised us. His father passed away quite young. That we could be away from dinner any night except Friday night. Friday night we wouldn't dare. There's a picture of my father.
See what this book is?
That's wonderful. Let's talk about this when we finish taking
it. I just thought about it and I want to bring it in and show it to you.
We'll have to make a note of it.
We had this rule, mother had this rule in the house that if I wanted to go out to a friend's house, not the home dinner. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday was fine. But Friday night, we all must sit down at the dinner table. That was the night she counted her children and checked on them. See? She was a hard worker. She raised us and did a good job, I think.
How old was the oldest child in the family?
How old
was your father died? About?
I don't think more than 19 or 20.
With Harry?
Harry, yes. See, I was
but he wasn't a young child.
No, he wasn't a young one. The little girl, Esther, died before father passed away. See.
What was your father's occupation?
He was a merchant. He didn't do anything too much, never made a lot of money.
But did he own his own business? Or?
Yes, he had a store.
And what did he sell?
Merchandise.
But a general kind of store?
I'll tell you an interesting thing about him. This was before I was born. As the family grew, there were 7, 8 children. They tell me we lived on Gist Street in Pittsburgh, on Fifth Avenue, right off of Regular Fifth Avenue High School. And he felt that the right thing to raise a family would be to take them to the country. He bought a farm in Baden. And that's where he wanted to raise his family. Well, it was awfully rough because it was kosher. And he didn't know anything about farming. lived there about a year. Give me a glass of water.
How about you girls? Sure.
They lived there about a year. And mother couldn't raise the family there because it matter of food, matter of it was all goyim around there. And they moved to Beaver Falls from there. And that's where I was born, in Beaver Falls. My brother Ben and my sister, they talked about this farm that we owned. It was two parts to it. Oh, give me the water. Hurry up. They drove up there one Sunday to see this farm, but at the moment, 35, 40 years later. And there was a family there by the name of Barco. And they stopped a man on the street and they near the farm and asked him, do the Barcos still live here? Oh, yes. Rayfield Barco. One of the boys was named Rayfield Barco. You heard that story. And that's, they moved from Baden to Beaver Falls. They lived there, I guess, about 3 years. All right. A year after we sold, my father sold the farm and moved away, they discovered oil. And that was the beginning of the Freedom Oil Company in Baden.
Your family keeps missing its chance. Huh? Your family keeps missing its chance.
Yeah, that's right. But that's the story. But we had a good family life. And then when mother passed away in 1917 or 18, We were still living on Dinwiddie Street. We had a great big nine-room house in the stone, what is known as the Stone Road. The war broke out. World War I. Yeah. And they shuffled me off to Carnegie Mellon. I became a instant repairman because I had a little bit of electrical background. And before I got out of there, I was in the Army. I had an honorable discharge, I think. Don't I? She laughs. I always, every time there's something patriotic happens, I say, give me my honorable discharge out. She passed away, and we broke up the house. Just too much. A couple of the girls were married already, and in fact, three of them were married.
How old was your mother when she died?
Mother, I would say, was somewhere around 65 to 66.
Because
maybe yeah. 67, I don't know.
She died shortly after your grandmother.
Yes. Yes. I remember she had, we sat shivvy at our house from Bubby. Mother was there.
What kind of an education did your parents have?
Well, Father was a very brilliant individual. In fact, he wrote a book, wrote several books.
Do you want to give us the name, Susan? Do you know them off air?
I'll show it to you. You'll never read it. It's in Hebrew.
Oh.
It's all in Hebrew.
I'll show you then. Show it to you and give you the
it's
name.
It's all in Hebrew. And then there's another book, second or the third book, that he never finished in Hebrew. And my sister Jen is having it translated. It's an awfully cumbersome thing to do.
There's one called The Jewish Question.
Was he educated in Europe?
Yes. Well, tell me this. Now, I don't know. That when he was born in Russia, and he, when they had the pogroms, or the pedigree of the army, or the usual thing that you run into, he went to Switzerland. And he was educated in Switzerland. Now, just what the education and what I couldn't, the wireless, is that it?
Yeah, this is the book. I was looking for a date, but there's no date on it.
Well, a date would...
It wouldn't mean anything, but this, I mean, it's a Jewish question. Mm-hmm.
That's his book. Now, if you can read it, you're a better gal than I'm a man.
And my Hebrew education was 3 months.
But he was quite a scholar. He was more of a scholar than he was a businessman.
That's why we didn't have the oil.
That's why we didn't have the oil, that's right.
Did you ever feel that your grandmother dominated her children's lives?
No, to the contrary. To the contrary. She was, when she walked into the house, you thought an angel came in. Just such loveliness, such hang. You know what the word hang mm-hmm. means? No, she didn't. She wasn't the boss of the family. There were no bosses.
She seemed to be such.
I'm not going
right,
individual.
But I wondered if yeah. she was.
No, she wasn't the boss. All right. Is
that obviously, you were. Your family was quite religious.
Well, to a point.
Yeah.
To a point.
Was it more observance in the home? Or
oh, yes, yes. Oh, we all went to shul, had Hebrew education. We went to the old Washington shul on Washington Street, Beth Amelia Chagoda. Rabbi Ashinsky was the chief rabbi there.
He's in that book.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the name of the familiar.
Sure. And that was torn down when they cleared up the hill district.
How often did you have to go to Hebrew school? How often
oh,
was it?
Well, no. I had a Rebbe come to the house
whoever was the right age at that time.
That's right, that's right.
Did the girls receive as much Hebrew
education? Not particularly, no. No. They weren't, although my oldest sister, Rose, was very much involved with the Young Ladies Relief Society. The Young Ladies Relief Society was the relief society connected with the old Montefiore Hospital. She and Frieda Davis, of the Davis, on their Davises, made money by dances and Euclid parties and card parties, and they bought an ambulance. It was horse-drawn. And Bubby, I think she would tell me, but she and Rose and Miss and Frieda Davis rode in the ambulance and delivered it to the old Montefiore Hospital.
That was when, before the First World War?
Huh? Oh, yes. Yes.
Were there, did you feel your parents had to be, well, your mother had to be a strict disciplinarian with all the children, or?
She wasn't strict, but she was firm. What I mean by that is, you went to bed on time, as I say, you were home Friday. There was no excuse in the world that would permit you to be away from the dinner table on Friday night.
What were you into that you would be away for the other 6 nights? What kind of activities did you take part in?
I used to go to the Irene Kaufman Settlement. It was then called the Columbia Council. Played basketball, loafed down at on Fifth Avenue, the Quincy Levine's place. Harry Levine, he was quite a star and basketball player from the University of Pittsburgh. And or I'd go over and visit my friends on the street. There was a lot of them in my age group, you see. Or I would be at one of my aunts or something like that. But Friday night you didn't you wouldn't dare ask.
You had many Jewish friends.
All Jewish.
You were not family with them.
Well, there were two or three families of Gentiles that lived on Liberty Street, but they were very lovely, decent individuals. They had no problems.
Was there a problem with blacks?
No, there were no blacks on the street.
Oh. When you had said that your grandma had delivered them?
Yeah. Well, that was in another part of the hill, see.
What school, grade school, did you go to?
Oh, I went to Grant School. That's where, I'll tell you where it is, where the new Bell Telephone building is on Grant Street, right next to the Cocker's building.
That was pretty far, wasn't it?
Well, we lived on Washington Street, then we lived on Dinwiddie Street. I didn't think so. I was young, though. Jump.
Not like the children of the village.
Yes, yeah, right.
My kids would think it was far.
Yeah, no. And then I went to Fifth Avenue High School.
Where did you go to junior high? Or were they combined?
There was no such thing as junior high in those days. It was high school. It was a four-year course, period.
Oh, but you went to the same place for the first 8th grade?
Yes. No. They started a deal there, and then it fell apart. On the basis that you had to go to the school closest to your home. And the one closest to my home on Dinwiddie Street was the Miller School up on Miller Street. And then that thing fell apart. We all went back to Grant School.
Oh, you had gone there through choice, not because that was the home.
That's right.
Do you remember any teachers who made a great impression on you?
Well, there was one particular, Miss Cameron. She was a very lovely gal. I remember her. And I was a bad boy in school. what I mean, mischievous. And she kind of took a liking to me, and she came down to the house several times to talk to Mother, to tell her that I should be.